The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
If I can be serious for a minute, without being interrupted.
Excuse me!
What? What?
The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar.
Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Welcome to the experience that is the High Spot Podcast on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner, the trendsetter, Brian Berga. You can follow us on Facebook.com/High Spot Podcast, all our social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at High Spot Podcast, and follow all our crazy shenanigans on our brand new website, HighSpotPodcast.com. Trendsetter, a huge week in the world of professional wrestling, and if you love hearing our voices, you're going to love this show because it's going to be me and you one-on-one the whole freaking show. So, Trendsetter, are you ready? You have your tonsils ready? You have your diaphragm all set up to do some word-to-word combat with Jeff Martin today?
Well, no, I never have to be prepared to do word-on-word combat with you, Jeff, but I'm excited because we're on the dawn, literally almost on the cusp of WrestleMania weekend. It's been exciting. Jersey Wrecking Crew are going to be traveling to New Orleans, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a second-time trip there, so it's going to be really cool to maybe enjoy a little bit more of the festivities. Last time Jeff and I went there, clearly we weren't doing the High Spot Podcast.
We weren't prepared.
We were there as fans. It was more of a last-minute thing, running around, doing a bunch of stuff. We kind of know the area a little bit, excited for all the events, especially the independent events, WrestleCon, and of course you have Access, WrestleMania weekend, you have, you know, Ring of Honor in that area. So a lot of things we're going to do, a lot of things we're going to try to cover, a lot of shows we're going to try to do, and content we're going to put out there as well. But Jeff, not only can they follow us on highspotpodcast.com, they can also follow us and hear our beautiful voices on Apple Podcasts. Guys, all you have to do is leave a 5-star rating review. It only takes a couple seconds. And you can also listen to the show on TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and SoundCloud as well.
That's right, folks. And our YouTube channel is up and running. You can get exclusive interviews with such stars as LAX, Alberto El Patron, Santa the Savage, and of course, two guys that are going to be a very important part of Supercard of Honor in Marty Scurll and Adam Hangman Page. Bullet Club is fine. Bullet Club is fine.
For now.
And you also have got videos from High Spot Podcast miniseries, Adventures with the Trendsetter. That is up and running. There's going to be more interviews posted shortly. But Trendsetter, so much to talk about. But I got to talk about the main thing about last week that was so freaking awesome. And I know you're going to, you know, you're kind of getting tired of me mentioning it, but Rescue Mania lived up to the billing of everything he was said. And I just want to say a special shout out to Chris Crowbar. An awesome event, man. And what a heck of a main event it was between Crowbar and Adam Payne, baby. What can you say, man? It just shows you that this guy is creative and he's a great promoter as well, and he's loved in the town of Rutherford, New Jersey.
Well, he's had experience in the business. He knows what it's like to put on a good show. He has tried to put the promoter hat on before. In this case, he had a little bit of help on that side in terms of promoting the event, setting everything up. But again, he's got a great mind for the business, I feel. He has a good feel. But again, he wants to bring back more of the old school mentality that he might have, where he wants to bring family wholesome wrestling back to, you know, Rutherford, New Jersey. And, you know, I think honestly, with all the buildup, with all the promotions, especially you in the High Spot Podcast, we're trying to help out as much as we possibly could. I think they lived up to billing. People were pleasantly surprised. And, you know, it's just kind of the starter. Anything initially when it starts, especially the first event that, which was Rescue Mania, they'll be nitpicking here and there. But at the same time, ultimately a success. The crowd was into it. The kids loved it. And that's what you ultimately want. And there's no doubt. This is going to be building up for a Rescue Mania 2, 3, 4. Before you know it, it's going to probably catch up to WrestleMania 45. So excited about that.
That's a whole lot of shirts, which is good.
It's a whole lot of shirts, man. Exactly.
So it's good for you to have money in your pocket. Got to hold the camera. Sorry, Carlos, if it sucked. And I'm talking about Carlos, who is the one of the lead owners for Battle Club Pro. It was my first attempt to do camera work, and I don't know. I don't know how I did. How did it look like I did?
Well, I was too busy watching your merchandise, Jeff. But ultimately, you know, you're never going to do good. You're never going to do good the first time around. It's always be kind of chaotic, little nerves. But again, you know, just like what we did the show the first time, it was really nervous. I mean, I cringe every single time I listen back to the very first episode of what we did here.
I cringe at last week's show.
Yeah, I cringe every single time I'm sitting next to you. But still, you get over that feeling, you move on, and you know what? Bigger and better things, not only for WrestleMania, but for you, obviously going to other endeavors where you're trying to work on more video filming. So it'll be exciting to see that. And like I said, the High Spot podcast, yourself, myself, we're trying to kind of venture out and trying to do it all at the same time. But again, what an exciting time frame. I mean, this is our Christmas. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, guys, this is your Christmas. This is, you know, forget New Year's, forget Thanksgiving. You are thankful to be a wrestling fan because in New Orleans, it's going to be everything wrestling. I mean, people want to talk about Jeff Comic-Con. People want to talk about, you know, the AVN porn star conventions. People want to talk people want to talk about all these things, Star Trek, Star Wars. You know, there's no, to me, deeper rooted diehard fan than there is in professional wrestling, and this is a celebration of it all. It's basically a whole week of celebrating professional wrestling, going to be ahead at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it all comes full circle next week, and we'll be there. And, of course, we got a special show for you guys also next week, early Monday, a special edition of the High Spot Podcast. We'll have Vinny Marsaglia of The Kingdom. He will join us. We'll have a little interview there as they prepare for Supercard of Honor in New Orleans on Saturday night, although him and The Kingdom are barred because of Bully Ray and him, you know, keeping them away from all the festivities. And, you know, we will talk about that exactly. How do they feel about that? Of course, is it fair for them to be barred from Supercard of Honor? We'll get into detail, of course, on our Monday episode, a special episode of the High Spot Podcast. So many things to do, too. We will do a special WrestleMania preview, too, as well. Just so much to do, and so much you'll be hearing from us next week from New Orleans, as the trendsetter said. But, you know, after Rescue Mania, after the excitement that was Rescue Mania, the next night, of course, there was going to be some hangover. But if you watched Access TV and you watched an amazing night of New Japan Pro Wrestling, you saw a strong style evolve. And all I can say is it was a very amazing night. Great announcements for the company about a future matches that will take place in July from the Cow Palace in San Francisco. But just all in all, in general, just talk about Strong Style Evolved. Just your thoughts on the whole card. Was it too long? Do you think the match is kind of, you know, too many tag team matches, too many six-man tag team matches? Just your thought on the whole night. Of course, headlined by the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi against the Young Bucks.
Well, ultimately, if you have to really look at it, hindsight's 2020, it is an ultimate success because there are so many in attendance. People were into it. I sometimes debate the length of the card. I know you want to get everybody in there, which is probably why we had so many tag team matches, which was kind of annoying at times. But at the same time, you kind of understood the reason why they were doing it, because they wanted to get everybody on this card. Ultimately, a success. And to me, one of the most exciting announcements, besides the fact that they're going to return back to the West Coast, is they actually opened up a new dojo on the West Coast. It was kind of like their grand opening, grand event, which is exciting because it just, to me, shows the evolution of New Japan Wrestling. In fact, that, you know, a lot of people were singling out, you know, the success of New Japan and how it's more of a just promotion based more, if you want to say regional, into a country of just Japan. But you see, it goes all over the place. I mean, we go to events, Jeff, here on the East Coast, and everybody's wearing Bullet Club shirts. Everybody knows who Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks are, Marty Scurll, Hangman Page. Everybody knows it.
But here's my thing to you. You just said everyone, right? But you didn't mention Okada, you didn't mention Tanahashi. Everyone you mentioned were North American to and also wrestlers from England. So, do you think right now there needs to be more of a thoughts of pushing an Okada, a Tanahashi, an Ishii, so we all know who they're about, or a Roppongi 3K? Do you think that's what's missing? Because like you said, we talked about the Kennys and the Martys and the Young Bucks, right? But those are guys we know from Ring of Honor. Do we need to find out more about guys like the IWGP Heavyweight Champion in Okada?
Well, the thing is, I say that in respect to the fact that they are extensions of New Japan Wrestling. I mean, granted, yeah, you're right. You made that point. We're not talking about the Okadas, the Ibushis, and all the great talent of Japan. But at the same time, here's the thing. The reason why Japan was kind of stuck in I wouldn't say a rut. They were stuck in the situation they were in. They weren't getting that mixed exposures because they were just kind of focusing on their stars. When you had stars, for example, like Kenny Omega, who could create that branch, that bridge to connect the two spheres. So, you know, as much as I'm mentioning them and they're more recognized for what they do on Being the Elite and for Ring of Honor as well, I think it's all a fair comparison that once you start knowing who they are, you become interested in the other talent. You know, people could say Okada's the best thing in New Japan Wrestling. He's their John Cena. But if you don't know who he is, how are you going to learn who he is? Through his rivalries with Kenny Omega, through his rivalries with other professionals that are going to be built on the card on the backs of the Bull Club, I feel at least. So yeah, it goes hand in hand. But I think the success of the Bull Club and their popularity nationwide across the United States and Canada and all over the world is going to help New Japan kind of cross over where we will be paying more attention to those individuals because again, their history in New Japan goes with that question of what they've done, but unfortunately, nobody here in the stateside has really known that. But I think little by little, they're going to start building that up.
So the Bullet Club is fine, according to Cody, especially his post interviews, and of course, the one he did on Facebook Live recently too, as well.
Of course, he's delusional though, because he's married to Brandi Rhodes. So you know, at the end of the day, Jeff, Bullet Club is fine. Who could care about Bullet Club? You're married to Brandi. So at the same time, he's a happy guy regardless.
Very funny interview on Facebook Live to go hear. I'm very impressed by Cody's character. It is very I've been paying attention to it a lot. And it's kind of like a heel, but also a guy that's kind of playing to each side. It's kind of like a cool heel. And I know we say that a lot in wrestling right now. But I love the transformation that he's done, and he's evolved into this maybe top heel right now in the business, if you ask me. So
he's a manipulator. You could definitely tell, like you said, he plays
exactly
both sides.
Yep.
To me, he has this characteristic where you
it's
think
a charming
he's
manipulator,
a charming manipulator, but also that sadistic side of him, which he can snap at any second, which you've seen when he turned his back and basically gave the crossroads to Kenny. You know, the kind of words he's put in and ideas in the Young Bucks' mind and this whole collaboration. You're right. I mean, it's more of a very astute, cunning, but also very devious in the same sense.
Yeah, definitely. And can Bullet Club trust him going forward? A lot of revealing stuff you said that he probably wouldn't have joined Bullet Club knowing he'd have to play second fiddle to Kenny Omega. But then again, though, Kenny hasn't been able to, I guess, maybe you can question his leadership a little bit because he couldn't get along with Adam Cole. And now you have the same situation where Cody right now, although he's a little bit more powerful as far as his influence on Marty and the Young Bucks, because let's be honest, Marty and the Young Bucks kind of like tolerate Adam Cole, but they kind of have a friendship with Cody. So this friction between both Kenny and Cody is going to culminate at Supercard of Honor, and we cannot wait to preview this on Monday's episode of the High Spot Podcast, Supercard of Honor preview. Here, the Jersey Wrecking Crew can only do it one way, and that is Wrecking Crew style. But talking about the match that had a strong style evolved, it was Cody and Marty Scurll to team up in an unlikely matchup against Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, of course, the Girls of Destiny. Just talk about that matchup, and it just was added more to the whole rivalry within Bullet Club, and also added more to Cody's kind of like influence over the Bullet Club. Just talk about that match. I mean, how much Tama Tonga really wanted to get at Cody.
Yeah, Tama Tonga to me is like, you know, New Japan's version of, I guess, of Roman Reigns. I mean, I hate to use the comparison because, you know, he's Samoan. But at the same time, what I liked about this is it just kind of brought another side. I mean, it continued the idea that there's turmoil within the Bullet Club. So there's no question about that. So just continuing that storyline. But at the same time, it also shed light on two individuals who, you know, when you talked about it, when I was mentioning the Bullet Club and people that they knew from New Japan Ring of Honor, you don't really hear a lot about these guys. You know, they're really just, they stay in New Japan, and so they've made a name for themselves there. But I thought this was a great opportunity for Cody and Marty to kind of shine some light on them, to give them the opportunity to kind of put their name out there. Because, you know, this is its second event that they've come over to the West Coast. So what better way is to work with a guy like Cody and Marty as well? And, you know, the thing I just take out of it is how funny Marty Scurll really is. But
I love Marty.
But what I tend to start questioning is the terms of his character. I mean, he's coming in this villain character. It's supposed to be very, scary. It's supposed to be very, like, gothic in a way. But then when you see him on Being the Elite, you see him singing, you see him jumping in Cody's arms, asking Cody for a kiss on the cheek. I'm like, so is this comedic style really taken away from the character? Again, that's something we can discuss further down the road, but that great outing by Cody, by Marty, by the whole group in general. I love the match and the way it ended in terms of it continues to develop that storyline where there's so much turmoil, which goes back to what Cody is kind of maybe lying to himself or trying to lie to the rest of us to make us believe that Bullet Club is fine, which it obviously isn't.
One of the names that's been floating around rampantly has been Rey Mysterio. And whether it's Rey Mysterio Jr., of course he was called that at Strongest Not Evolved, is this whole situation where now there's reports that Braun Strowman's mystery partner might end up being Rey Mysterio, although it's kind of highly unlikely because of the biceps injury for Rey.
I could say it's actually likely, believe it or not, but I'll tell you why in
sure,
statement.
Sure, tease, mm-hmm. as we learned in the radio biz, tease.
Yeah, that's all we learned in the radio business.
Exactly. So Rey shows up, cannot wrestle for New Japan at Strong Style Evolved. Then we got Will Ospreay as a replacement, which is freaking awesome. So the junior heavyweight champion took on Jushin Thunder Liger. It was great to see Jushin Thunder Liger. He's still going.
Isn't it amazing
in his 50s.
That Jushin Thunder Liger at this stage in his career, Jeff, can still. I mean, he can't do what he once did before. That's obvious, right? We're not naive, but he still can do a lot. Considering the fact that he is at an advanced age in terms of your career in the ring.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember his match with Brian Pillman. That was like 20 years ago. And to see Jushin Thunder Liger still going.
Is it the same Jushin Thunder Liger?
It's the same Jushin Thunder Liger. It's not like the Ultimate Warrior where you're number 8 or something like that, where a lot of people said there was so many incarnations of the Ultimate Warrior. But yeah, no, same Jushin Thunder Liger. It was a treat to watch. And now it sets up a possible feud in the future between Will Ospreay and Rey Mysterio. One, come at me with why you think it might be a good idea for Mysterio Jr. to sign a short-term deal with WWE and be with Braun when he's actually promised that he would come back and wrestle for New Japan. Talk about the different possibilities right now, because he is a name right now that is floating around almost everywhere in the rumor mill.
Well, I think nowadays, Jeff, the way we cover wrestling now, I think the ability to go from brand to brand is more open by WWE's side. I think Vince or management's more open to that, where we sign you to a short-term deal, you fulfill your obligations here, and then you can go to another event. I mean, I think Kent Jericho kind of proved it. Although he wasn't signed under contract anymore, he still went through WWE. They're okay with it. And, you know, WWE is doing more acknowledgement now of other brands out there. They won't call them by name, but they will mention it. We all kind of know what they're talking about. In terms of Rey Mysterio Jr., I think it's smart, because if he does allow himself to go back and sign a short-term deal with WWE, it puts him on a huge stage, especially if it's at WrestleMania, and he is Braun Strowman's partner. The reason why I say it's a good idea for Rey to be there is, you know, for one, it gives him the exposure. He really doesn't have to do much, because he could just stand on the ring apron. Braun Strowman can just do a 619, just do anything. That doesn't require him to use his arm or his bicep. Braun Strowman can run the whole show, which is basically what he's been doing, the build up towards WrestleMania for the tag team titles on Raw. And for Rey Mysterio, it just will build him up, so if he finishes his short term deal there, he can go and just gives him more momentum and more popularity when he does continue this rivalry, supposed rivalry he's going to have with Will Ospreay, which that would be an amazing match. And by that time, he'll already be healed up.
And of course, if you want to hear what our thoughts on WrestleMania and the predictions, it's going to be a long show. And we have about maybe, 12 to 14 matches that are going to be slated for that event.
It's going to be a 6.5-hour show.
It's going to be crazy, ridiculous. Man. Hopefully.
My back and my shoulders are already killing me just thinking about it.
Hopefully, there's a drink stand behind us somewhere.
You think they're going to do pyro at WrestleMania? You think they're going to fit
that
into the budget?
Oh,
man,
yeah.
we're sitting right next to the stage.
They're going all out.
We're about to have earplugs.
I know you were not happy where they assigned
you. I'm not happy with our seating assignments. I thought we were going to be on
the risers, right? Like 32?
No, not the riser. I thought we were going to be the extension where you're kind of off the field and you're in actually the actual stand seats.
Oh.
We're going to have that, because even that's a good seat, and then you have a little bit more space.
Yeah, this is going to be
a little more comfortable. No, we're going all the way back. So, you know, it makes me now wiser to see when I do select these packages for us to go to be a little bit smarter in terms of, if I really do want to go front row, either go all out for it, which I didn't really want to do for New Orleans. I don't want to bring another chair home. And but if I'm gonna do it, say for example next year, here in New Jersey, New York, why not? Because you know it's right in our backyard. But if we're gonna go to other places, maybe kind of go a little bit further back, because again, there's not a bad seat in the house. And the last thing you want to do is when you're on those risers, they're really not risers. They're just basically a 5-inch platform.
Yeah.
And you know, people are standing up, getting in your way. But whatever. Negate that. You're still going to try.
It's going to be a good time, man. We'll make it fun.
Still going to try to enjoy the
experience. This is Bourbon Street afterwards, so I'll make it fun for you, trendsetter.
Oh, boy. I'm going to have to carry Jeff all over the place, seriously. Last thing I want to do is walk down that huge convention center that we did before. We're smarter about that now.
Man,
we're not going to walk through the whole convention center.
No, we start at the
other
side.
To go to Access, start at the very end first.
I remember I was huffing and puffing on video.
We have to redo that again. We really do.
We do. It's going to be bigger and better as we are on our second trip to New Orleans, so... but we will have our WrestleMania show that week. from New Orleans on the High Spot Podcast. So make sure you tune into that too.
We'll also be vlogging as well. So we'll be posting not only a lot of videos of, hopefully we have interviews with a lot of talent around, whether it be WrestleCon or Ring of Honor or whatever the case might be. So we're always going to have our camera or phone on us to be able to film that for you guys. We're also going to be vlogging during the course of the day, because you're right, it's a whole week. We get there on a Wednesday. We don't leave till Tuesday morning. So it'll be definitely a nice little vlog, a nice little keepsake memento, bringing the crew with us to New Orleans.
I got to get on that too, man. I gotta really take time and really work on the website so that you can go on the website and follow what we're going to be doing on certain days. You know, I know it's going to be kind of like spontaneous posting stuff up. I kind of want to have a little itinerary on our website, because, of course, that's where you can follow our shenanigans on highspotpodcast.com. But definitely want to make sure that I get on top of that before we head out and fix the website for all of you, the crew. No, we're not leaving now. We're not signing off. But, you know, so we will have that preview for WrestleMania with you that week in New Orleans. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that's what I want to say. But let's go back now to Strong Style Evolved, and let's talk about the matchup between Will Ospreay and Jushin Thunder Liger really quick. Will Ospreay, to you, in your mind, do you think he can take that Junior Heavyweight Championship to the next level? Do you think he can make it what, say, Jushin Thunder Liger did? He wants to, you know, make it better. Do you think a matchup with Rey Mysterio in the future will make it better?
I think it will, but I think really the money match, in my opinion, Jeff, is a rematch against Marty Scurll. I think that rivalry is not finished. It's not done. There's still a lot of stuff that can be said in terms of where they want to go in that direction. I think that will help elevate the title. That will help elevate Will Ospreay, because despite all the great athleticism and the things he can do in the ring, which, you know, we keep going back, you and I, even prior to the show, talking about his match with Ricochet, you know, he needs the other great dance partner, because at this point he's a champion in New Japan, and he needs to transition that title. Maybe it won't be necessarily on the microphone, it'll be in the ring, but he has to start developing that side of himself. Granted, I haven't seen a lot of Will Ospreay. I've only seen it from what I've seen on the internet. But, you know, being able to see him at Strong Style Evolve was a great indication of where he is in the ring. There's no question he's an elite athlete in the ring. But can he carry that piece in terms of the microphone? Can he sell tickets? Can he have people want to come in to see him specifically? A lot of that depends on the rivalry. I think a rivalry with Marty Scurll to finish that off and continue that, because we've had some time until he kind of meets Rey Mysterio down the road. I think that's going to be vital for Will Ospreay and his future in New Japan as a champion.
All right, another matchup too. After a long night, everybody wanted to see the Bucks and the Golden Lovers, but we got in between the United States Championship matchup between Adam Hangman Page challenging against Sling Blade against Jay
Switchblade.
White. Against Switchblade Jay White. Talk about that matchup, and man, they went crazy. There were some spots that you're just shaking your head. Jim Ross was even like, man, somebody's going to actually die or something like that. Just your thoughts on this matchup. And I think at the end of the day, they got a standing ovation, and I think they did an amazing job leading into the tag team match.
I think they did an amazing job building up this match, Jeff, to make the U.S. title, if not more important than the world title, which Okada holds right now. It was a little disappointing for me that Okada was in a tag match and the title wasn't defended. It would have been nice if it was, but this was your main event. This was the main title that everybody wanted to see. Jay White, Hangman Page, and the funny thing is, I love the build-up and the preview they had before the match started, because it's true, a lot of people are not paying attention to Hangman Page. We had him on the show, great guy, but there's no question, when we saw him there at Ring of Honor Final Battle, this guy can go in the ring. This guy is tremendously athletic. And you know what? I think it's time for his star to shine a little bit more bright. And he showed the fact that he can be in that spotlight and kind of take that ball and run with it. With Jay White, you know, to me, there's something intriguing about him. And it's really funny that they showed the preview of how he turned his back, not turned his back, but basically betrayed a little bit of Kenny Omega when he tried to accept the Bullet Club shirt. Because I see a lot of Kenny Omega in Jay White. That's not to say he's a second version 2.0. He is his own man, but he does have that type of demeanor. He does have a lot of that it factor behind him. So I'm interested to see how Jay White carries that title. I don't think this is the last time, you know, although, you know, storyline-wise now, we saw at the end of the result,
Finley
will be now next in line to face Jay White, or has challenged him for the U.S. title. But I don't think we've seen the last of Hangman, because although there are a lot of dangerous spots, and I agree with JR, and sometimes I can kind of understand the fact that they want to do those spots because it's a big-time event and they want to do that, but sometimes health is a huge indication that you want to continue this. You don't want to die out there. But I don't think this is the last time we've seen Adam Hangman Page in the U.S. title picture.
No, definitely not, too. But again, just
ultimately, before you get to your question, I want to ask you, when you look at a guy like Jay White, can he be that, depending on what happens with Kenny, because he signed a year contract, can he be that other individual that can kind of carry company where, you know, when they do come back to the West Coast the following year after that, he could be like a mainstream attraction?
Oh, he's definitely a guy that you can build around. He has the it factor. Just recently, the last year or so, he's been in high-profile matches. I mean, when I'm looking at Jay White and Hangman Page, I'm thinking of back in the day of a Tully Blanchard against a Magnum TA. That's kind of had that feel.
Yeah,
that,
you mentioned that old-school
kind of NWA Crockett Promotions match, and you're just like, wow, like you're getting a guy in Adam Page who, you know, no longer is he in the back front of is he in the back part of Bullet Club right now. He's at the forefront of Bullet Club, and he is a guy that
he wants his moment
down the road. He wants his moment, and I could see him in down the road actually vie for a world championship matchup. I mean, why not? And I could definitely see him carry a company as well, too. So you have two guys here who, when you talk about the future of Ring of Honor, you talk about the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you see these two guys, I mean, the future is bright. And this is why, when you talk about the whole, you know, Japan and U.S. thing, I think they're vital for the success of New Japan. We talked about before, back in the day, they talked about coming to the U.S., but it was, you know, really maybe having a show once a year or whatever, but not really marketing. But now is the time for them to really come over here and take cities like Seattle and California and San Francisco and go all the way to Vegas. If they can get that West Coast market right
and
now.
And even though New Japan isn't really a part of the whole All In, it is kind of a part of it. So that's going to help extend them as well, because they're going to Chicago as well. Not necessarily New Japan, but you have certain superstars there for the All In event. You know, that's going to just help them maybe kind of venture themselves more further to the East Coast, like we talked about before.
Get the brand out there. And before, maybe there was a lackluster effort on New Japan, and maybe they didn't feel like they could. But now is the moment that they need to seize, because wrestling is just coming in left and right out of everywhere. And we as a culture now, with social media and having the easy access to everything right now, I mean, there is a thirst for wrestling. And if you put it out there and you're different from other things and other people, like New Japan is right now, and what they're doing, and how right now, you know, with the Bullet Club and Jay White and Adam Hangman Page doing his thing now, going for singles title, and even Marty Scurll going for the heavyweight championship at Ring of Honor at Supercard of Honor against Dalton Castle, you have a tremendous amount of wrestling stars now that are not in WWE. So looking forward to the future of what New Japan does. But going back to the whole Adam Page and Jay White, I would just say that they probably felt that there was a lull and people couldn't wait to get to the tag match, that they felt that they had to maybe do a couple things that maybe they weren't planning on doing, and maybe they just need to get the crowd back into it. But at the end of the day, they got a standing O, and I would say that in the future, they should kind of maybe curtail it a little bit, because the last thing you want to do is see two stars like them with their magnitude get on the injured list for no apparent reason.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with all the momentum New Japan has right now. Quick question. Did it steal the show, yes or no?
Yeah. I
would say yes.
It
stole the show.
Yeah.
It was the match that people probably weren't expecting to be as good, but I thought stole the show.
I will tell you this. I would say it stole the show until we got to the main event, because that main event, the tag team match between the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega, Ibushi against the Young Bucks.
But that's a tag team match.
It
though,
did. I get it. But you know what?
As I love tag team wrestling, though. Yeah. You know, I love tag team wrestling, but I thought that match had no expectations behind it. It surprised a lot of people.
Yeah, but then when you see what they did here in this matchup, they went all out for it. They're basically, all four of them are friends, and the way they're putting their bodies at risk. Yes, there was a lot of risk with Jay White and a Hangman.
Is Ibushi friends with the Young Bucks?
There's a. I mean, maybe I see you're calling me out on the friends thing. I'm just trying to see maybe
I know the history between Kenny and the Young Bucks. You've seen New Japan a little bit more than I have, so I'm just kind of asking you a question. Is there a history with Kota Ibushi and the Young Bucks? Isn't a rivalry?
I would say more of a
mutual respect type of thing.
A mutual respect when it comes to Ibushi and the Young Bucks. But you know, for example, we're friends, right? And then I introduce you
I won't say that.
Well, exactly. So I don't even know what the hell we are then. So so forget what I said about friendship. But I'm just say they're, you know, They're
all right, we give the illusion that we're friends. Okay, what's the point of trying to make?
No, that the Roboff will be like, okay, well, since I know him, since you know me, then we're friends by association. So
by association, there you go. That's what I was trying to understand. Yeah.
So I think that match stole the show at the end of it, and people were talking about it. And I think the main thing to me is,
so it lived up to the billing, in your opinion.
Lived up to the billing, and it stole the show because even though it was the main event, it was expected to steal the show, but they went above and beyond, and that's why I say that matchup was the best match of the night. Number two going to Jay White and Adam Hangman Page. Okay. But what I gotta ask you is, after watching the post of Cody and hearing from the Young Bucks and listening to Kenny Omega, what exactly was solved as Strong Style Evolved? I don't think anything was. I think the conflict just gets worse.
Well, you kind of just asked me a question. You kind of answered it yourself. It's the truth. Nothing was solved. Even Kenny, in a very disheartened post-match press conference, kind of said the exact same thing that you're saying. Like, what was resolved here? The mere fact that we gave it our all, but at the same time, nothing has changed. It's still the same turmoil, even though Cody wants to go around saying the Bullet Club is fine. It's not. And it's clearly a rift here of confusion. And I think this is what happens in terms of, and I love the way they're playing this story, Jeff, out. I really like the way that, with the episodes of Being the Elite and the way they're doing this on the shows, that they're building up the fact that there is a change that's happening, I feel. And I think it's a change where I feel Kenny Omega is now going to be separating himself. This is what I feel. Is slowly separating himself from the Bullet Club. Talking about his leadership. Maybe he's not the leader, which is a nice little twist that would make people start writing, whoa, you don't think you're the leader right now? Maybe Cody's right. Giving kind of some leverage over to Cody and saying, maybe he is right. Maybe he wasn't so far-fetched to say it, and maybe he should be the Bullet Club leader. I think ultimately it's an evolution because you have the manipulating side of Cody Rhodes, or Cody in this case, Kenny, who's kind of indecisive of what he wants to do, reunited with an old friend, and now kind of looks like he wants to venture into new territory instead of being the man in New Japan, going for that title, thinking he deserves it. He wants to now prove himself to be one of the best tag teams in the world. So it's a different venture there. The Young Bucks now going from junior heavyweight to heavyweight, and it's like all this of Adam Hangman Page wanting to have more of the spotlight on him. Marty, where does Marty fit in all this? I mean, we know what he's going to do with the Ring of Honor, come Supercard, but again, where does he fit? Maybe he wants to now venture out on his own and be his own man because he wants to regain back the junior heavyweight title from Will Ospreay. So it really feels at this point, in this stage of the Bullet Club faction, Jeff, it seems like they're all wanting to go out their separate ways now. So it's kind of an evolution of the Bullet Club, and I know there are more members to the Bullet Club, but I'm just isolating these individuals because we see them the most. And I really feel that in the cusp, at the end of this, Kenny Omega will relieve himself from being the leader, will not be anymore a member of the Bullet Club. Where Cody fits in all this is still to be determined because we saw the final episode of Being the Elite. They're starting to now question the motives behind Cody and what he's doing. So it's a great story, which will ultimately have an end. I don't know if it will happen WrestleMania weekend. I think it's still going to be built up, but I love the build up to this because to me it's the evolution of separating yourself from the faction and being your own individuals. And I think that's what we're seeing from the Young Bucks, that we're seeing from Kenny, from Cody, obviously, Hangman, and now Marty. So it's pretty exciting. And ultimately, it solves nothing, this whole event, but you're right. It was great. I think the crowd was really into it, but I think they're into it by the efforts of Jay White and Adam Page because they brought the crowd back into it. So once they were, because it was a long night, it was a huge card. So by the time we got to the main event, you and I were kind of on fumes. Like, whoa, man, we got this main event going. We got to go to bed because we got to go work in the morning, or I got to go to work in the morning. Still stayed up a little bit and watched it. But ultimately, that's why I love tag team wrestling and just the ability of the one thing that I think a lot of people don't talk about nowadays, and this is what I think New Japan does, and people always want to point the finger. Oh, they don't sell. They're doing these flips and things like that. Talk about selling. That match sold a lot of emotion, sold a lot of spots in terms of injuries, in terms of Nick having a problem with his back.
Matt.
They both look alike. Matt having issues with his back, selling that great. And also the turmoil going internally in Kenny Omega's head that he's facing his two best friends that he doesn't want to hurt. So ultimately, he didn't solve anything. But what a match, Jeff, and what a storyline. I can't wait to see how this comes to a conclusion down the road.
Well, and the next time New Japan Pro Wrestling returns, it will be at the Cow Palace in San Francisco on July 7th, 2018. They present Fighting Spirit Unleashed. Looking forward to that, man. I mean, the success. Now they're going to a 15,000-seat arena, which is the Cow Palace. There really hasn't been that much wrestling in the Cow Palace since I think they mentioned in the show they said since Eddie Guerrero and Brock Lesnar. So, wow, all the way back then,
wow,
they have not done a huge wrestling event. So they returned to the Cow Palace in the summertime for Fighting Spirit Unleashed, New Japan Pro Wrestling presentation. And then, of course, also you have that tease where we had Zack Sabre Jr. and Okada. That's going to be an amazing matchup.
Now, Jeff, in terms of believability here, does Zack Sabre Jr. and Okada intrigue you enough where it's believable that, oh, I mean, they've built it up where Zack Sabre's had the best of Okada.
Yeah.
He's had his number, you could say, right?
And I think that's why it's believable.
That's why it's believable,
and
why too.
And his submission game is amazing, so he doesn't have to, you know, pin Okada with one submission. I mean, you saw that matchup, and just the way Zack Sabre Jr. wrestles, he can make you tap out at any single time. So I think that's what gives him credibility, and that's why it's going to be an awesome match with Zack Sabre Jr. and Okada.
I know they're building this up for Genesis, Jeff, but was it a little disappointment for the fact that the IWGP title heavyweight championship wasn't on the line? That we didn't have a singles match at least with Okada? Or did the tag match build up enough where we're leading to Genesis with Zack Sabre Jr. and Okada for the IWGP heavyweight title?
I think it's here. It's about the U.S. championship. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And I probably believe that on July the 7th, we'll see the IWGP heavyweight championship defended. So, I mean, that's
because you think two huge events in the States, building your brand, New Japan. I know the U.S. title, there's a tournament for the first one. This one, they're obviously showcasing it as well because of the history of the U.S. title, almost about a year to the date where the tournament happened and Kenny Omega won. But I kind of scratch my head in terms of business standpoint. That's why I'm not a promoter. Maybe I want to get your point of view on this. If these are your two huge events in the States that you're trying to build your brand, don't you want to build your brand with your major title, the history the IWGP heavyweight title has? Don't you want to build it off of
that's
that?
That's why
as well?
There's a show in July.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why there's a show in July.
And I'm a little surprised they didn't want to do it here.
And I think that hey, it's a call you can.
I mean, it was defended the first one.
Yes, it was.
With Cody.
Cody and Okada. Mm-hmm. It was great. But I think that if they want to highlight here the U.S. Championship, fine by me. And I'm pretty sure that July the 7th at Fighting Spirit Unleashed, I think we'll see the IWGP Heavyweight Championship defended. So now if they don't, then you can come back at me that July, and then I'll say, like, yeah, they should have that championship defended too. But we
got
see.
Some time. We have some time.
Yeah,
to
we have some time.
Out.
And who would have thought?
How fast would that sell out, do you think?
Longer than 10 minutes.
Longer than 10 minutes?
Because this is a 15,000.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah, of course.
Maybe a day. Maybe a day or 2 days. But again, it's a destination place to go to because it's fans all over the world. It's also fans from Japan that can come over here. You know,
Shorter flights.
Mm-hmm. From people from Seattle, people from everywhere. They can come to California and San Francisco. So it's going to be amazing. And again, who would have thought over 30-plus minutes talking about Strong Style Evolved?
Well, I think it just kind of shows the case that, you know, Jeff, how you and I talked about the end of 2017, and we talk about it with every guest we have on the show in terms of the evolution of professional wrestling. Jeff, it's not all about WWE. We hope that the crew listening to this right now are not saying, you know, why are we talking about Raw? Why are we talking about SmackDown? Guys, we have plenty of time to talk about that. Remember, we're less than 2 weeks away. We will be previewing WrestleMania card. We will be previewing, you know, TakeOver and things of that nature. But again, there are other things out there.
And trust us.
There's so much more quality behind it as well.
Trust
WWE.
If you saw Raw and SmackDown, there's really not much to talk about. So we kind of have a feel, a pulse of what's going on.
No, we could talk about it, but it's going to sound like whining.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to sound like we're whining and nitpicking and everything.
So we're just going to give you flat out the positives and negatives of SmackDown. Yeah. So, I mean, there's really not much to talk about there. So we, you know, did a executive decision here, and we decided to go with Strong Style Evolved because we've been talking about it ever since Sunday. So,
exactly.
And Rescue Mania. We did start off with Rescue Mania, so we felt that was the most important thing to talk about too. Rescue Mania and the opportunities of maybe Rescue Mania 2 down the road. Rescue Mania.
Jeff, it's over.
Yeah,
it's over. Well. Let it go, man.
All right, man. So we talk about the sponsor of the show, Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion, from cool-looking flex-fit caps to great-looking men's and women's shirts. Go check out the rest of their entire 2018 spring fashion. And when I say spring fashion, it's spring everywhere else except freaking here in the Northeast, because it is still freaking cold, and I cannot wait to get to the 70-degree weather of New Orleans. But I digress. Check out the 2018 Spring Fashion line by going to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Get the 10% off. It's brand new year, and get some new gear at collarandelbow.com.
You know what's funny, Jeff, is that, you know, while you're reading that promo for Collar and Elbow, I have great quite merchandise. Well, you read it quite well, very eloquently, not stuttering your words like I usually do sometimes when I'm really trying to say it fast, trying to get to something else. But walking through the city, and I have my Collar and Elbow cap that I usually wear all the single time. You got me a new hat, so I appreciate that. A little trucker hat, which I will definitely wear, hopefully, around WrestleMania weekend. I'm seeing a lot of people in the city, Jeff, wearing Collar and Elbow merchandise. And it just, you know, it makes me kind of grin a little bit because, you know, they're obviously
using their promo code?
They're using their hopefully they're using their promo code, or, you know, they're using their 10% off. But also it's like, wow, it's not just like you had mentioned in the promo. It is fashionable. This is, you don't have to showcase the fact that you're a wrestling fan. Even if you're not a wrestling fan, just check out that merchandise. It's really cool for men's and women. So, you know, it's a very nice style. So you don't have to kind of wear these, you know, what WWE has, or like, you know, the gigantic AJ Styles or Roman Reigns, Roman Empire, or going to Hot Topic and wearing Bullet Club merchandise.
The material is better.
It's the material. The quality is good. And it's stylish enough where you can wear it with anything. So just really exciting to see around the city. You see all that stuff happening.
I love the WWE shirts, but I just can't stand the freaking material. I got to go to the vintage section because that's like a little softer material. I can't stand whatever freaking material is that they use. And I've mentioned this in a lot of conversations, is that I love that, you know, that softer material. That's what we use the iSpot Podcast teachers were. Here it's called soft gilding. Yeah. But, you know, they use a softer material.
And we're learning a lot about fashion here.
This is our fashion segment here on the iSpot
Trial and
Podcast.
Error for us. Yeah.
Anybody want to sponsor, please let us know. You know, I just don't like the WWE shirts. And then Collar and Elbow.
That is not 100% cotton. I've had cotton shirts before. What the WWE shirts are made out of is not cotton. Feels like cardboard, basically.
Well, I don't want to diss them that bad, but yes.
I'm not dissing it. It's just calling a spade, Jeff. I'm not dissing them. The quality of t-shirts, I'm sure I'm not the first one to say. I'm sure a lot of people would feel the same way about the quality of their material.
And we mentioned it to Al Snow that we like that material, and he agreed. He said, oh, well, thank you so much, because yeah. I was sporting that pink Collar and Elbow for breast cancer awareness. But yeah, definitely go to their website, collarxelbowbrand.com, and, you know, listen, save 10% on your purchase, dude. The economy is bad. You want to save 10% on great shirts? Just put in High Spot Podcast, all in caps, and save 10%, man. Which is a good cause. Well, cause to the Jeff and Trendsetter Human Fund.
The Human Fund, exactly. Yeah. Man, we're really dating ourselves now, Jeff. But since we're talking about fashion, to me, what I want to dive into, there's no smooth transition because I'm not trying to transition from apparel to WWE. But I got to talk to you about something that I'm sure everybody's been talking about now. And we're not going to be the first ones nor the last people to discuss this. This whole Ronda Rousey situation, Jeff. She was on an interview on ESPN, two different interviews. I think one of the interviews was for Mike and Mike, and the other one's for First Take.
Well, it's not Mike and Mike anymore.
Oh, it's not Mike and Mike anymore?
Mike Greenberg left to do a morning show, so it's now Trey Wingo and Mike Golick.
Okay, well, Mike Golick interviewing Ronda Rousey, and, you know, he had First Take. My question to you is, Jeff, we talked about the whole build-up to Ronda, you know, her first introduction to the WWE, marking out. You couldn't blame her. She got a lot of criticism for that, but then we were like, you know, let's give her the benefit of the doubt here. We've seen her small interaction with talent in the ring. Clearly, it's not there. It's not as natural. Again, it doesn't have to be one, because I agree. For example, I listened to Chris Jericho and Chael Sonnen, which too eloquently.
You finally heard that?
Well, I think I saw part of it. They were
heard part of it.
Yeah, I heard part of it where like they're talking about the whole Ronda Rousey thing. And I do agree with Chris Jericho to the extent, and I'm not nitpicking, saying she has to have a tremendous wrestling match, 5-star. She doesn't need to have a great wrestling match in order for this to be a good match. It has to be it's an attraction, basically. The point I'm trying to get to, Jeff, is the mere fact that, for me at least, there's been question about what's going to happen when she does go one-on-one in the ring individually. How's that going to end up? Is she going to be like a Goldberg or Brock Lesnar and finish it quickly to kind of stay face and give that allure similar to like maybe an Oscar where you're just dominant and nobody can stop you type of situation? Or in terms of her promos, kind of getting better, but still her timing's not there. My question to you is,
let's just say Paige didn't help out at all this week, okay? I mean, for everyone that says, "Oh my God, Paige and Ronda, I'd love to see that match." Give me a break. I mean, listen, I love Paige, and it's unfortunate that she, you know, her career was cut short. But besides the Emma match, where they, you know, they kind of started the women's evolution, and then maybe a match here and there with AJ Lee, I think Paige is so overrated; it's not even funny. And then you can tell that she hasn't done the whole promo in a while because that baby girl just honestly did not. Let's just say that she did not do Ronda any favors. I'm not gonna take any. It sounds like I'm making excuses for Ronda, but let's just say that didn't do her any favors.
Okay, so Jeff, so where are you going with this? I really feel you're on the Ronda bandwagon here because you're like, oh, Paige didn't do any favors. You know, Stephanie and Triple H didn't do any favors when she has the mic by herself, and Kurt Angle's acting like her handler. That's not doing her any favors because you can't say WWE Kurt Angle.
Or you can't say Becky Lynch either.
Yeah. I mean, at what point are we going to call the fact that this all falls on Ronda? Yeah, this falls on Ronda, basically. In her interview, acting very immature. But Jeff, here's my question. You know, at the same time, she gets torn up by it. How's she going to handle it down the road when she continually gets criticized?
Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she doesn't handle it well. Who knows? But I'm going to sit back and I'm going to watch her either implode or I'm going to watch her rise up and do a better job and find it in her to do better. I'm going to sit back and I'm just going to watch it. I'm not going to every day. Here's my issue with this. You say it from the analyst aspect, and I should honestly see it from the analyst aspect too. But when we're in a society and we criticize every freaking thing, where we're even dissecting the way that the women's WrestleMania trophy looks like now because it looks basically like a female uterus, like you saw. It was the first thing you said to me. When we're critiquing every single little thing. Yes, look, to me, here's the God honest truth about Ronda Rousey, and I'll say it to you right now. She is there because she is Ronda Rousey, and that is her name. She's going to bring box office. Can she do a promo? Who knows? At the end of the day, my thoughts, she should be a heel. That's what she deserves to be. She is a heel. You saw her in the interview. It was the first thing I thought when I saw her with the Golik interview. She is a heel. People actually do fear her, even when they're talking to her, and they're like in the opposite stratospheres. They have a fear for her. She is a Brock Lesnar. So to me, she shouldn't be talking that much. She should have an advocate like a Paul Heyman. And if Brock does leave, I think Paul Heyman would be great. But I don't think if WWE wants to go that way and make her heel. So what I believe is I'm just going to sit back there and watch her, and I'm going to see, okay, she is there because she is Ronda Rousey. She is not there because she wowed people in the Performance Center. She just shot up straight to the top. She is not there because she is the daughter of the Nature Boy Ric Flair. And that's why, you know, the part of why Charlotte Flair, her allure is because she is, you know, bloodlines with Ric Flair. I just want to see whether she's going to implode on her own or whether she's going to rise up from all these critiques and do a good job, which I feel at the long run she's going to do. I can tell you right now, no, she's not ready right now. No, this is crazy. That's why they're putting her in a tag matchup. But
I'm not talking about her being ready in the ring, Jeff. The main point I'm trying to say is the way WWE playing Ronda Rousey and what she's done to this point. You said she has box office attraction. I agree to an extent. Maybe not so much until after she got defeated, but still, you know, to each their own. She's still going to draw eyes from the general audience. I get that part and that business of it. But if you're WWE and you're looking at the fact from when she started from Royal Rumble till now, I wouldn't say it's a success right now. In terms of you're saying it's going to be box office, if they really had faith in this to begin with, this would have been promoted just as much as they promoted Floyd Mayweather and The Big Show. They haven't been promoting as much. I mean, we don't see Triple H and Steph anymore. Ronda Rousey comes in, does a little squash with talent, and Kurt Angle builds up, and that's it. She's done a couple of interviews, but I like what you said before, or when you mentioned everybody critiques, I get it. I'm just looking from the standpoint that she's getting this annoyed with interviews. It's the part of the daily thing. She shouldn't be new to it.
Her heel came out.
It's not about UFC. Like, she should be used to it because she's done it with UFC. Yeah. And if you're going to promote a pay-per-view like this, say she's going to be in the ring with the Charlotte Flair for the Women's Championship, you're going to get ESPN time because ESPN and WWE have a partnership now. If you can't deal with this, it's just going to get worse. I'm talking more from the company standpoint. You're like, well,
right,
it's kind of cringe.
It's not
going to
get worse because is that going to make you not watch on Sunday?
Well, no, because I'm watching on Sunday, Jeff. Believe it or not, for other things, not Ronda Rousey.
Okay,
she's not the main attraction.
But in their eyes, she is. And believe it or not, even though there is a matchup like Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, that is not the attraction the WWE is banking on right now. They're putting more on Ronda Rousey. And why do I think that? because at the end of the day, I think the Ronda Rousey match is going to go after the Nakamura AJ Styles match. So I do believe that they're banking a lot on Ronda Rousey. And at the end of the day, if you heard the Jericho and Sonnen interview, it's all about, it's not about how she does in a promo, it's not about this and that, and listen to your man Jericho, and I love Jericho too, but it's about money, it's about making money, it's not about getting over, it's about this and that, it's about, at the end of the day, the wrestlers and the people around them making the money, and she's going to bring money to WWE, whether she could give a promo or she gives somebody attitude. My thing is, she should be a heel, and that's where I'm going to go. That's my angle. She should be a heel. Somewhere down the road, her main draw is to be a heel, and Charlotte to be, if they decide to do something in Mania next year, is for Charlotte to be the face.
Well, I have to look at the numbers, though, because as much as I love Jericho, I don't agree with the fact that, yeah, it's all, you know, I agree with the fact that it's all about making money, but when you compare, like, a Brock Lesnar, he's going to make money. You bring back a Goldberg, it's going to make money because people are going to want to see this match. I don't want to pay to see Ronda Rousey in a wrestling ring. At least to this point, I don't want to. And so when we had our interview with Brad Shepard, you know, he had a lot of great points, but I didn't agree with him to one particular point where, like, he's like, yes, there eventually will be a female WrestleMania main event, the final match on the show. But I don't think it's going to be a Ronda Rousey Charlotte. I think it's going to be Charlotte or somebody else.
Because
people are going to pay money to see WrestleMania. They're not paying money to see the end of the match.
I disagree because I think that as much as I love Sasha, she cannot draw as many people as a Ronda Rousey Charlotte Flair. And if you ask around and if you do a poll, you're going to find out that more people say, I want to see Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair than Bayley versus Charlotte. Sasha versus Charlotte, even Asuka versus Charlotte, they want to see Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. And to me, that's the only match that can main event a woman's matchup for WrestleMania.
Okay, well, I'm in disagreement here because I don't think it's going to main event because it's going to be the draw where everybody's going to want to see it. It's just going to be the last match on the card. That's what it is.
Yeah,
I think
we'll find out
the day and age, Jeff, for you and I would say the main event is what's going to draw the card of everybody buying it because they want to see, for example, Rock and Cena or Andre and Hogan is the showcase of WrestleMania 3. Everybody's going to pay money because they just want to see that match. I think WrestleMania has become such a huge, gigantic juggernaut where people just want to go enjoy WrestleMania itself. It's a 6.5-hour show now, seven-hour show. They're not there for the main event. They're there for the experience. They're there for certain matches on the card, not just the final match.
But I will agree with you on one thing, is that if they decide to, or eventually, as I believe it will happen, that they will headline next year's WrestleMania in New York, I think they need to do better promotion. Because the only thing I do agree with you is that they're promoting this tag team match. You don't see Triple H and Stephanie at all on Raw. You just see Ronda and Kurt, and then you see the little interaction with like Absolution, and which doesn't help to me, doesn't help Ronda at all. I think Triple H and Stephanie need to be there, and they started the media tours again this week. But to me, one of the things I see here is that Ronda is a heel. She is a heel, and she would be better for it. She'd be more comfortable being that way, and then she can build up to being a face. You know, so that's just
she's doing something that's unnatural. I mean, being in the ring,
yeah,
and she's portraying a character in herself. She's very humble. She's a fan. We've known that for a while. But you're right, Jeff. She's playing a part out there that she's not comfortable with or doesn't come natural to her. Because, like you said, she's a natural heel. She says what's on her mind. She doesn't apologize for anything like that. And so when she comes to this, you know, goody person, it's kind of hard to buy into that. So I agree with you in that point.
Yeah, no, and again, it's going to be through time. We'll find out. But I got to put a bet on you with that for next year for WrestleMania. We got to do like a little wager. It's going to be in our backyard. We kind of want to do a little wager if we believe that. I believe that Ronda and Charlotte will main event that. And
you think they'll main event next year?
I think they will.
I don't think next year. I think maybe in a couple years. Because Ronda's in it for the long haul. So let's give her a couple years under her belt to see what happens. But you're right. I think there will be a main event. But I kind of disagreed with the reasoning behind it. But again, we've got till next year to talk about that, Joe.
Yeah, we definitely do. And one thing we want to do, too, is want to congratulate The Miz and Maryse for the birth of their baby girl.
Yes.
Hey, The Miz is a father now, and you know, just nothing but the best for The Miz, too. And there's no doubt now that he will be at WrestleMania. There's also that scare that, you know, Maryse might deliver during WrestleMania week.
Well, that's out of the question now.
Yeah. So congratulations to The Miz for the birth of their baby girl, Monroe, I think is her name too.
So, yes, I think so. I don't remember the middle name, but it was Monroe.
Yeah, so congratulations too. And then Shane McMahon, we hope he recovers. We found out that he was suffering from acute diverticulitis. He should ask Brock Lesnar about that because it's no fun at all. And an umbilical hernia while he was vacationing with his family in the Caribbean. He was transferred to New York Hospital. He's taking antibiotics to fight off the infection. And what we felt, a WrestleMania appearance was in doubt. Daniel Bryan kind of said that Shane McMahon will be at WrestleMania to take on Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. We thought that Daniel Bryan would return at WrestleMania. It's come full circle now. He will return to the ring at the place where he had his biggest triumph at WrestleMania 30 in New Orleans. So, Shane McMahon going to be there 100%? And if there was any doubt of your health, thinking you have a family and kids, would you even be there? You're the... You know, I don't know what his role is now. You know, right now I think he's just a talent. But, you know, you have a wife and kids.
Must be a production standpoint, too.
You're rich. Like, why even if there was in a percentage that you could really do some damage to yourself, would you go along and do this match?
Well, Jeff, with all due respect, I don't even know why you're asking that question. We've seen this guy jump off Hell in a Cell twice. Twice, Jeff. Yeah. So in terms of questioning your health, I think Shane is the same type of mentality as we like to say, quote-unquote, old school. You basically put a Band-Aid on it and you toughen it out because you're there to sell and promote. You've promoted it now, and your responsibility as a talent or as a promoter of its command is to live up to what you're selling to the audience. Give them what you promised them. And, you know, I don't think that Daniel Bryan or the WWE would have promoted this match if they didn't think Shane would be back to 100% back then. But my question, Jeff, is what is he doing in the Caribbean? Isn't he supposed to be hurt? I mean, that powerbomb he took. I mean, what are we doing here? Breaking the fourth wall. What's going on? But no, ultimately, it's exciting because you're right. Daniel Bryan's returning back to the place where he had his greatest triumph in his career. But also, it's interesting in terms of the dynamic because they had built this whole storyline where it looked like there was rift between Shane and Daniel Bryan. Now it seems to be a partnership here. Daniel Bryan's finally seen the light. The stipulation in this match is that if Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn win, they get rehired. If they don't, they remain fired from WWE. So pretty interesting dynamic there. But in terms of Shane, I'm sure, like I said before, I don't think they would be promoting this if they didn't expect him to be 100% healthy. And that's basically, I think, what we're going to see. I think Shane will be there. But again, you would think that when Shane's there, he's going to be doing the majority of the work. Daniel Bryan would be on silent since he's been out of the ring for 3 years. Now it might be the opposite. You don't know. But again, interesting dynamic, and it creates a lot of tension in terms of, is this going to happen or is it not? But I feel ultimately, and we're going to see this, and Shane will be fine. How much he can do in the ring, I have no idea.
Yeah, and remember, we will have our predictions, our WrestleMania predictions and preview next week while we are at WrestleMania down in New Orleans. So you want to stay tuned for that here on the High Spot Podcast. So quick hits for you now, Trendsetter, as you wind it down. We talked about this a long time, and we did this on our NXT Weekly show that we did a long time ago, and you always said that there should be a secondary championship in NXT. Well, we thought the UK championship would kind of be that for time being until they got the UK show up and running. It didn't seem like it's anywhere close to, you know, happening anytime soon. William Regal comes out and introduces the North American championship, and we saw the debut, at least the first, you know, full promo by EC3 in NXT. Just your thoughts on the introduction of the North American championship. You kind of predicted it there, Trendsetter Amis. Your thoughts? I think it should have been the TV championship, if you ask me, or the network championship.
Well, yeah, you kind of just stole what I was going to say there. In a way.
I keep doing that, Trendsetter. Yeah, I apologize. I keep answering the questions I do for you.
It's like, what am I doing here? You could just answer the questions.
What are you doing? I'm joking.
I don't know either. Believe me, you're not the only one asking that question.
Delete.
What am I doing here? But to answer your question, yeah, like, why couldn't they call it? Or the answer to the question you've already answered. Why are they calling it the North American? Can we call it a television title? Is television dead nowadays? Should we call it the network championship since it's on the network exclusively for NXT? I don't get it. But again, I'm not going to bicker over the name, but I am happy the fact that there is a secondary title. Don't know what that means for the UK title because there hasn't been any development, Jeff, that I've heard of.
Well,
it's
not even be defended at the
takeover. Yeah, which is completely, like, to me, a huge sin. Like, why wouldn't you have your UK championship defended on it? On a huge card where everybody's going to be watching. Don't understand that. But excited there is theoretically now an official secondary title because like you and I talked about a lot when we were doing NXT Weekly, every time for such a long time ago now, it's the fact that, you know, it can't always be about the main title because some of the other people get lost in the shuffle. Depending on the depth you had on your roster, depending on where storylines were going, there was a lot of talent that was being missed, and a lot of talent were just basically kind of running around in purgatory. They didn't have anything. So now you have a secondary title to go to, the workman's title, if you want to call it, or the title, the fact that would kind of establish the next guy that would be in line for a shot at the NXT championship. So I'm excited for it. I think it will be beneficial for the brand, which is NXT. And ultimately, where they go from it, I'm not a huge fan of the name. I'm not going to, you know, say that I am. But again, that's neither here nor there. So it's exciting. I'm just now kind of now after hearing that announcement from William Regal, who, you know, I've never been a fan of as commissioner of NXT. This guy is running around sitting on the toilet, basically. I don't know what he's doing. So now the UK title seems to be pushed aside. And what are you going to do with it now? Because that became now, through all the fans of NXT, including you and myself, that was our secondary title to watch this brand. Now you're pushing that out of the way. And you're pushing Tyler Bate out of the way. You're pushing Pete Dunne out of the way.
They pushed Tyler Bate out of the way a long time now.
You're pushing all these people out of the way.
He's got on their heat list. Yeah, heat. I have no freaking clue. Supposedly, he's like, he couldn't do a certain date because he was doing another show. I don't know, but he's been on there.
So now seeing EC3, and we see the likes of Ricochet now is going to be on NXT TV.
And he most likely will see him at NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
Is this a good indication now that the newest acquisitions from WWE to NXT are going to be now, we're going to see a tournament. We're going to see something like that to kind of help elevate this title.
Interesting. We're going to see the ladder match.
Yeah, there's going to be depth here now, which is going to be exciting. And I think that title will be the flag bearer in terms of...
The standard bearer.
You answer my questions,
and I correct
you. And you always try to correct me. Heaven forbid I try to correct Jeff on anything.
He's turning green,
because
folks.
Then he like looks at me like, why do you have to say that? Why can't you just let me go with it? No, but Jeff always has to try to correct me. And whatever, you know, now ask here. I'll throw it over to you, Jeff. ask your own question, and do the rest of the show by yourself, because I'm done with it.
No, Trentson, don't walk out of here. You still got a few minutes here for me, because I want to throw some questions at you, and I promise there will be questions for you. I won't answer them myself, okay? So we find out that Ciampa is going to take...
I've noticed on the show that you asked me the questions, and I never get a chance to ask you anything.
Well, that's true, because I feel like the audience cares more about what the Trentson has to say.
They don't care about me. They want to hear
about
you. All
right, well, then here you go, man. Take this. And you ask
me. I'm taking these headphones off.
Ask me the next one. It's Ciampa and Gargano, my thoughts. Quick, ask me that.
Okay, Jeff, so what do you think about Ciampa and Gargano? I mean, ultimately, I think this is going to be a great match.
There's really nothing there. I'm just telling you, that's the next question.
No, yeah, of course, you're pointing to the Golden Lovers and the Young Bucks. But what are your thoughts now of this rivalry? Johnny Gargano has now a second shot to come back to NXT, facing Tommaso Ciampa, a guy who basically stabbed him in the back like what you're kind of doing to me on the show. You know, what do you feel about this match, the build-up to it? Are you excited for it, this match, particularly NXT TakeOver? Well, let me tell you what I think, Jeff, before you answer that question.
Oh, touche, trendsetter. Anyway, so let me just say, so I don't sound long-winded and, you know, I don't keep repeating myself, I think that Gargano...
Of course, because you wouldn't want to be short in your answers, too, and move on to something and run out of time and not have anything to say, so...
So Gargano and Ciampa, I believe, is going to be an amazing match. It really kills me because Supercard of Honor is the same night, and we're going to see Kenny and Cody. The reason why we're going to Supercard is because we haven't seen Kenny live. But if not, you're going to get to see Ricochet. You're going to get to see EC3 make his debut. You're going to get to see Ciampa and Gargano, which has been almost a year in the making. And in any other single night, this would be the card of the whole freaking WrestleMania week. But unfortunately, it's not. We will be at Supercard of Honor. But I love this match. I love this feud. It kind of doesn't make sense because William Regal, like you said, should, you know, grow a set and just bar Gargano and not have this match unsanctioned fight. But listen, we're a wrestling fan. We can't be fickle with everything. I think this is going to be match of the year. I think you thought of Cien Almas and Gargano being amazing. This is going to top it.
Think there's too much expectation for this match?
No.
Too much pressure for them?
No.
Especially Tommaso Ciampa has come off
a
very horrific injury.
Deliver?
Okay.
I'm assured of it, as I know, as I love you as my co-host.
You're such a liar. You really are. I'm waiting for the bolt of lightning to hit you right now, Jeff.
All right, Trent. So let's go back to the role reversal here. And really quick, congratulations goes out to Court Bauer and MLW for announcing a TV deal with beIN Sports USA. That's a big deal, man. More wrestling available on TV, and Court Bauer has been putting up on Kurt Bauer has been putting on amazing shows from Orlando, from Gilton Light Club, and now more exposure for wrestlers, right, Trent Center?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same point that, again, I don't want to be long-winded when I say this, but again, there's more avenues for more content to be out there. With the power of the internet, the power of social media, there's so much stuff out there that's available now to us as wrestling fans. So just another option for us to have, which is great, and just another thing for you and I to talk about. And so I won't be long-winded when I answer that question.
And then, of course, I'm going to add one more thing to this long list of stuff, and that is that Eric Bischoff will return to the podcast world. He will be teaming up with Conrad Thompson, and they'll be doing their own
podcast. Is this a rib, Jeff?
No, it's not a rib. Okay. It's the God Honest Truth, and it's going to be called 83 Weeks. And, of course, 83 Weeks was the time that WCW beat Monday Night Raw in the ratings, 83 consecutive weeks. I thought it was a great title. Quickly, your thoughts. Did you miss Eric Bischoff on any kind of podcast?
Did I miss Eric Bischoff? No. But again, I think he likes to be out of the limelight. So for him to do it, it's great. I think he has a great mind for the business. I think he has so much experience and wisdom he could pass on to somebody else. Now, some of the things he's promoted or in terms of he said, oh, this place is the thing to watch, I have no idea what he was smoking when he was saying that. But at the same time, yeah, I have no idea. But at the same time, hindsight to 2020, I think he's a great mind, great business savvy sense. So if you ever want to start off and hear somebody in terms of their experience and the do's and don'ts in the way, because he'll be the first one to admit mistakes he made, great, great listen to, and I'm looking forward to it. What content will be out there? I have no idea. But again, you always want to be uniquely different. Kind of like we're uniquely different when we do the show. We're not people that, you know, we have a piece of paper here, folks, but it's blank. There's nothing on it. And we're
kind of prop, just like the titles. They're props.
Exactly. It's a championship. It's not a title.
We're doing the whole Joe Bidingo and Evan Roberts thing when they do the reads and they do the. I'm not a fan of that.
But no, yeah, but a lot of it.
You're just making a point.
You have to make a point, basically. So I'm excited for it.
I like Eric Bischoff because he has great insight, and I'm looking forward to talking to him at WrestleCon if you get a chance to talk to him just about, you know, just what
but
he
is this
feels
insight stuck in the past, though? Is this insight stuck in the past?
Well, I mean, if you look at Pritchard and Conrad, I think that, you know, that's all stuff in the past, too, but it's like the inner workings.
But that's their format in a way, though.
Yeah, this is the same thing you're going to get.
Okay.
See, Trendsetter, you know, go on the dirt sheets once in a while. It's going to be, they're going to talk about WCW. They're going to talk about
because you always know the dirt sheets are always 100% accurate.
They're going to talk about the AWA and some WWE. So I think that what Eric Bischoff needed was a good co-host, and I think Conrad Thompson is going to be a good co-host, and I hope to talk to Eric Bischoff at WrestleCon and get his thoughts on what his favorite match will be heading into WrestleMania. And then, of course, John Cena and Triple H. No, it's not 2005. It's 2018. Will be a matchup that's going to be part of the greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. You got a 50-man Royal Rumble. You got all title matches. It's going to be one hell of a night. Saudi Arabia must be really paying WWE a lot of money for this. What are your thoughts?
It's exciting. It's them going to different avenues where
you're excited about John Cena and Triple H?
Yeah, because I haven't seen it in a while. And at this stage, you know, it's kind of different, Jeff, because it's a sense of nostalgia. You know why? Because the last time we saw them in a big stage was WrestleMania, right? And now to see, you know, Triple H basically, you know, not be a full-time wrestler. He's part-time now. John Cena now as the part-time role. Kind of interesting to see it. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take my breath away. It's going to be a show stealer. It's going to be one of the greatest matches in the world in history. No, I don't think so. But I think from the nostalgia factor, it's pretty interesting to see these two at this stage in their career face each other again with the history that these two have had as well. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
You thought WrestleMania was going to be long. This thing in Saudi Arabia is going to be freaking crazy.
They're going to say my answers are going to be long.
No. Well,
talking about WrestleMania being long, the trendsetter's answers are so long-winded.
No, this is going to be one freaking long night. It's going to be available, and the best part about it is going to be available on the network. So John Cena versus Triple H. Circa 2005, you're gonna get to see it again on the network in Saudi Arabia. Wow, it's crazy.
You know what's crazy, Jeff, is that Cheeseburger is going to be signing autographs at this.
No, that Cheeseburger is actually going to be on the Jericho Cruise.
He's going to be on the Jericho Cruise as well.
Flip Gordon, Deonna Purrazzo are going to be on the Jericho Cruise.
Exactly.
That's another great thing I'm looking forward to, October, baby.
What about Mandy? Jericho. Can we get Mandy Leon on the freaking Jericho Cruise, please?
I tried to pull some magic. Cannot get her for the show down in New Orleans.
I don't want to go then.
Well, I'll still go.
Okay, well.
Trendsetter.
Enjoy, Jeff.
Boy, can you believe we went at it talking about professional wrestling for an hour?
And you're so worried that we're going to be able to talk about anything for an hour. Jeff, we spend 3 hours talking about one subject. Literally one subject. We could have spent the whole show for 1 hour talking about the whole Ronda Rousey situation because I know how passionate and heated you are about, you know, everybody, you know, getting upset and mad and, you know, turning to Vince McMahon and turning red like, God damn it, Jeff. Whatever. But, yeah, dude, you know, this is something that comes natural to us because at the same time, Jeff and I talk about this every single day, which is sometimes when you try to put it in a one-hour format that Jeff and I do, and then when we were able to get an interview in and a guest, it's like, man, we have to fit all this in a short period of time. Now it's kind of effortless. It was more of Jeff and I just having a casual conversation, which is always what Jeff and I do when we're talking about this. We use a lot more profanity, especially when we disagree on stuff. But at the same time, Jeff keeps it professional. Again, always answers his own questions, so I don't know why the hell he always asks me a question. But at the same time, I had a good time, Jeff.
And you're listening to the High Spot Podcast on Cheap Pops Podcast Network. Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman's Baby, they are the flagship show with Between the Ropes. You can catch their shows every Wednesday, along with other shows like The Cosmic Geppetto, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stick to the Gimmick. And of course, you can also listen to us on the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks. You've got such podcasts as Destruction 101, Hashtag DND, and Drink with Gino, A Genuine Taste of Wrestling, and Outsiders Podcast with Mark Adam Haggerty.
You'll be talking to Dave Destruction later on this week, Jeff.
Playing some softball from Maine to San Diego, talking softball.
So, real quick, before you're...
Martin and Destruction.
Before we wrap this up, Jeff, a little nervous getting back on the field.
Nervous. God damn, man.
You've retired your cleats for quite some time.
God damn. Sunday we went out, and first of all, the weather didn't help out, you know. And oh, I felt like, man, well, we took some grounders.
Weather's not helping out for anything.
it was such a makeship practice because I was like, we took some grounders. Obviously, I can't go to my right. And luckily, I'm going to play catcher.
Don't say this on the podcast because anybody listening to this will now know
to hit
towards your right-hand side.
Well, there you go. I had problems going to my right. And then luckily I'll be playing catcher for the first few games. So
okay.
That's fine because they got to do boy-girl. So they feel like more girls on the infield. I'll catch. The best part about doing this is I have to go back on Google and see what exactly the catcher has to cover. I thought I had to go to third base, but that's not – I don't have to cover third base. I have to just cover myself and just follow the batter if there's any ground balls to any bases. That way I can just – throw it and catch it in case they're like, you know, little bunts or anything like that. So, hey, I'm good, man. I'm going to have
you're going to be feeling equipment. It, though. You're going to be squatting a lot.
I'm going to have to squat. Since it's high arc, I just have to get back there and make sure that, you know, the ball doesn't get to me. I mean, you get the floor, but I don't have to really get crouched down.
Can you wear a mask or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a mask there, too. So, it's going to be cool. I get to see one of our friends from Serious Work over there, Joe. Joe Pizzamenti's doing this.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, he's going to be doing that too.
All right, so you took some grounders, you did some batting practice, you did some throwing from second base.
Yeah, and oh. I was sore. I was sore till you know, midweek. So, and then I'm taking it light and looking forward to my
first practice.
So
basically,
I don't pull a hamstring for WrestleMania. That's all I'm going to say. Knock on wood, I don't pull anything for WrestleMania.
Well, there you have it, folks, if you guys want to.
But before you close this out, Trendsetter, I just want to let you know, we have Vinny Marcellia from The Kingdom on Monday. A very special episode of High Spot Podcast. We will preview Ring of Honor to give our predictions and have Vinny Marcellia on from The Kingdom.
And not only Vinny, but hopefully, I don't say this a lot because I hate promising things and not being able to post it up. Hopefully another special guest we'll have on before WrestleMania that you guys will enjoy. You guys will know who he is. I kind of gave it away a little bit in terms of the gender, but still you'll enjoy it nonetheless if it does happen. So just be mindful, guys. There might be another little surprise before we head down to New Orleans, too. So it'll be exciting to have.
Wow, as well. I didn't even know. You're keeping it for me?
Exactly, because if not, you're going to blab it around everywhere.
Yeah,
you're going to go on social media and create like a poster of the person's face on on a billboard or something like that and give it away. So I can't relay all my information to you sometimes. I sometimes keep it secret.
And we will also have our WrestleMania and NXT preview from WrestleMania. Dude, you're not going to sleep, right?
And Rayvon, I'm not sleeping.
No.
I don't ever sleep. And so, I mean, after this episode, I'm going to go to the gym. Got to get ready for New Orleans. Got to be in the best shape I possibly can be. And then, obviously, when we go to New Orleans, I think the first day we're there, it'll be more touristy. We'll try to enjoy, obviously, get our supplies in terms of, you know, stuff we need to get ready for the hotel room.
Candy and M&M's.
Candy and M&M's condoms. And all that bad stuff, exactly. For
condoms!
Jeff. For making water balloons for Mardi Gras, and that's all he's going to use it for. And, yeah, and obviously once we start, it's going to be crazy, crazy time. We're just going to be running around doing a whole bunch of stuff. Good way, good in a bad sense, because we're keeping busy, but also we're doing something we like, covering professional wrestling, which you guys are listening to here on the High Spot Podcast.
Hey,
so,
whoa, Trendsetter. We got the NXT and the WrestleMania, and we were going to try to get a special guest. We're going to try to get Fritzy on to help us.
Why don't you close out the show, Jeff? Supposedly,
No. I was done after that. This has been, honestly,
well, you were done because you already mentioned it before. Okay,
so I'm good. So
you're repeating it a second time. Plus, we'll be bringing down the Ring of Honor Supercard as well.
I'm ready to go.
Exactly. And Jeff's stuck in the past like he always is, thinking we're going to Florida. So maybe it'll be a great event. Maybe Jeff will go down to Florida. I'll go down to the easy New Orleans and actually have a good time.
Going down to New Orleans. Yeah.
We won't have to babysit. So, guys, you've been listening to the High Spot Podcast. For the trendsetter, Brian Berg, and my tag team partner, Jeff Martin, who literally right now is annoying me so much that I don't know how I'm going to deal with him in New Orleans. If he doesn't come back, then I won't mind doing the show by myself. But we thank you guys for listening to this episode. Catch us in the upcoming days because we will be doing this on Friday, but at the same time, some special episodes coming up in the near future. Down the road, stay in contact and stay up to date on our social media, plus our website, highspotpodcast.com, YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter as well, and Instagram. So for that, we thank you guys for listening to this episode. We'll catch you next time because we do this for you,
the crew.
Going down to New Orleans. Yeah.
Rescue Mania. Rescue Mania.